Thank you. I'm happy to be here today. I'm Kelia O'Malley. I'm the Interim Assistant Director for the Prevention Research Center at Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. I got my MPH from the Global Community Health and Behavioral Sciences Department at the school with an emphasis in nutrition, and am currently a doctoral student as well in the department. I am presenting today on behalf of our research team, who are listed as co-authors on this presentation today. Let's see. I have no relationships to disclose. So the Prevention Research Center at Tulane is based in New Orleans. We focus on addressing modifiable physical and social environmental factors that influence obesity and behavioral determinants, physical activity, and nutrition. Our research over the years has documented disparities in access to different food store types, both before and after Hurricane Katrina. We've documented differential access to fruits and vegetables along with actual store types, and have documented that the city is underserved by supermarkets overall compared to national averages. As part of the rebuilding efforts after Hurricane Katrina, the Tulane Prevention Research Center was instrumental in joining with the city and forming the New Orleans Food Policy Advisory Committee. This was a group that was formed in 2007 and was really helping the city and making recommendations to the state overall to really help direct and target rebuilding efforts to make the city a better place than it was before and make sure that allocation of resources was distributed in the most equitable way. And we were really pushing to ensure that equitable access to fresh and healthy foods was considered during the rebuilding efforts. The group was pretty diverse. There were leaders from both the public, private, as well as civic sectors. As the result of this initial convening, there's a report published that's available online, Building Healthy Communities, Expanding Access to Fresh Food Retail. There are 10 recommendations that came out of this report, and one of them was to recommend that the city adopted a fresh food retailer initiative. This was enacted in 2011 in the city of New Orleans and established $14 million in funding to be available for food store owners, managers, or operators, or developers to apply for if they were interested in either opening a new store or expanding an existing store that was located in a neighborhood that was underserved overall, and to increase the availability of fresh foods in the neighborhood. So because of this, our research team was expecting to see changes in food access over the next few years and wanted to make sure that we were able to document the impact of those changes on the communities. So for the rest of the presentation today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the different methods that we have been using over the last few years to be able to look at the change in geographic food access and how that has associated with food purchasing and consumption patterns of residents across the city, and also being able to look at differences by proximity to food stores, frequency of food shopping, and other factors. The three different projects that I'm going to talk to you about are food store observations, two citywide phone surveys that we conducted in 2011 and earlier this year, and also neighborhood-focused household surveys that we also wrapped up earlier this year. Our food store observations we have done annually, beginning in 2007. It's really two parts. First, we do a complete census of all food retail outlets across the city. We have actual people on the ground who drive up and down every single street across the city, document and update lists that we have accumulated over the years to look at the different types of stores and where they're located. And then we take a sample stratified by store type that we do some more lengthy in-store measures on. We collect shelf space devoted to different types of foods. We collect some information on specific food item availability and selected price measures on different marker foods. Our citywide phone surveys, we wanted to look at, be able to capture a citywide overview in 2011, sort of as a baseline, before we were seeing this real influx of new supermarkets opening across the city. So the best way that we felt like at the time to do this was to do a address-based phone survey, so we would have residential point data about where these respondents were located. We conducted a brief survey collecting information from respondents who were identified as the primary household grocery shopper, information about where they did their grocery shopping, how they got there, how long it took them to get there, and then consumption of various foods as well as socio-demographic information. We did this at two points in time. We did this in 2011, and then we also did another round this summer. And then this is just a little bit more information about the types of food consumption information we got. We were interested particularly in servings of fruits and vegetables as well as snack foods. And then we calculated and looked at and have been able to do some mapping looking at where the respondents live and where they report grocery shopping. And to complement this, we also wanted to do a more in-depth neighborhood-focused project to capture a population that we may be missing by doing the citywide overview. So we identified two different neighborhoods that were known to have low food access, also known to be lower income neighborhoods, and one of which was targeted as a neighborhood that would be getting funding for a new store to be opening within the project period. So we developed a survey that was modeled after the phone survey that we implemented to be able to describe some similar information about where people are grocery shopping, how they get there, how often they go, as well as some information about their food consumption patterns. For this project, we felt like it was really important for us to have community buy-in, community support, and participation throughout the entire process. So we developed a steering committee for this project specifically, who's really been incredible to work with and very, very helpful with this project. It's compiled of community residents, people who represent organizations that work within those neighborhoods, other universities in the area, other public health institutes who are doing similar work. The steering committee has helped from beginning and is still very much involved, helped us decide and make decisions about the neighborhoods that we were going to be focusing on, define the boundaries of those neighborhoods, helped us develop the survey tool, helped us with pilot testing, helped us really revise the questions also to make sure that we were conveying and asking what we were intending, and then also what members of the steering committee felt like the community would really felt like was important and would make sense to them. So they named our project the Making Groceries Project, which for anyone who doesn't know, in New Orleans you don't go grocery shopping, you go make your groceries. So this was a local term that would resonate with people who are born and raised in New Orleans. They helped us with branding, designing the logo, deciding on the incentives that would be appropriate, and are continuing to help us with as we get our data back and really interpreting the data in the context of the neighborhoods, helping us with dissemination activities as well. So this is, yes, you can see the colors a little bit. So you can see here the dots that are in the orangey color were the supermarkets that were open in 2011 before we did our first round of phone surveys. You can see the sort of teal dots there were the stores that opened between 2011 and 2013. And then the two dots in purple, one of which is in the center of our intervention neighborhood, we're calling it, for our Making Groceries project. This is an example of some of the information we collect from our in-store surveys. So you can see here in 2011, we completed in-store surveys on 14 supermarkets in the city. The average shelf space devoted to fruits and vegetables was about 357 feet. You can see that compared to snack shelf space, there was an average of over 800 feet in supermarkets devoted to snack shelf space. And we derive a relative measure looking at shelf space devoted to fruits and vegetables compared to snack foods on the far right. And here you can see we look at this by store type, so we can look at variations across store types. And on average, you can see that although supermarkets relatively have the best relative measure of fruits and vegetables to snack foods, they're still contributing a large amount of snack foods. So this map, you can see where the supermarkets are located this year. When you can see that this is a layout of the respondents who participated in our phone survey, so we had a great geographic distribution that really covered the city. And that's in comparison. Here's the two neighborhoods that we really focused on for our neighborhood-based survey. This is a description of the participants for our 2011 citywide survey. You can see the average age was around 58 years old, some college education, making close to 8 shopping trips per month, consuming about 2.8 servings of fresh produce a day. You can see that the distance to the closest store compared to the distance that they're reporting traveling to the store that they go most often. So you can see that people aren't necessarily shopping at the store that's closest to them. A predominantly female respondent, we were targeting the primary household shopper, so that was expected for us. 10% on food assistance, high proportion of car access. And then the 2013 respondent sample was pretty similar. And then here's our making groceries respondent sample. It's a little bit younger compared to the phone survey, more of a high school educated. But again, the same trend of people aren't necessarily shopping at the closest store. They're traveling further than the store that's located closest to them. And this sample, half was on reported being on food assistance, a little bit lower car access, still high female proportion. This, real quickly, I'll just go through. This is just a simple bivariate analysis looking at comparison between those who shop, reported shopping less than once a week compared to those who shop at least once a week or more. This is our 2011 phone survey, and we see that on average, the average daily servings of both fruits and vegetables and snack foods are higher in those who are shopping at least once a week or more. This pattern is consistent in our 2013 phone survey, and although it's not statistically significant, the pattern is still there in our making groceries data. So we're seeing that people, the increased frequency of shopping is associated with increased consumption of fruits and vegetables, but also increased consumption of snack foods. We've done some more in-depth analysis on our 2011 phone survey data and are in the midst of really diving into the data that we finished collecting this year. But our main finding that we're really coming away with is that it's frequency of grocery shopping that's really strongly associated with increased consumption of fresh produce. But people who travel further are shopping less frequently and thus consuming less produce. People who have access to a car are traveling more frequently compared to those who do not, are shopping more frequently, excuse me, and thus consuming more fresh produce. And there are still personal and household characteristics that are strongly related to all of these factors. So in conclusion, we feel that using these different methods has really helped us get a better understanding of the relationship between the food environment and food behaviors, and that using multiple methods can really help to get an understanding at both the macro city level as well as more in-depth neighborhood understanding of these relationships. We're able to use our food environment data that we've personally collected, so we know what's there, we know what's valid, we know that we're not missing things, and are able to link to all of our other projects on this. Our steering committee, as I mentioned, has been so helpful with all of this work and really helped to make it more meaningful and hopefully help to make it more meaningful to the community that we're working within. We feel that we're pretty well poised to examine changes as these new funded stores open up in the next year. There are some limitations to using a landline phone-based sample. We are trying to complement that with doing household surveys as well in the Making Groceries project. Again, limitations of the cross-sectional nature of our phone survey that, again, we're trying to complement by through the Making Groceries project, where we have enrolled a cohort and we are maintaining contact with them, getting information back out to the neighborhood associations, working with our steering committee to help with that. We have yet to have one of the FFRI-funded supermarkets open yet. It's sort of the nature of doing natural experiments, as we call them, that we're not controlling this, so we're sort of at the whim of the developers on that one. So we're hoping it opens early in 2014. As I mentioned, we've collected a lot of in-store data. We're hoping to link also to the surveys that we've collected. We collected information on farmers markets and other alternative sources of fresh foods. There's a lot of community gardening going on in New Orleans and a lot of innovative new ways of increasing access to fresh foods that we're also going to be looking at. And also looking at it from a disparities viewpoint. Are there differential impacts on different populations with the openings of these new stores? So, just in conclusion, to thank all of the other investigators who've been involved, the graduate research assistants, community project assistants. We partnered with Mississippi State University to help us with the phone survey, again, our steering committee, and our funders from the CDC, who are part of the Prevention Research Centers Network, have also received USDA funding over the years. So, thank you.